That's no problem. Thank you, buddy. Give him a hand. Oh, Luke, I'll tell you what, buddy. You know, you talk about anxiety. I'm with you. Every week, I'm with you. I want you to understand that, buddy. I understand that totally well. You know, I'm going to preach on keep your windows open this morning. And how I come about preaching about it, I'll get to the scripture in a minute. If you want to turn to Daniel chapter 6. But whenever I was a kid, our house, our old farmhouse that we lived in, it not only didn't have air, we didn't have air conditioning, it did not even have insulation. So when it got hot out in the summertime, you had to open your windows. And obviously, we couldn't even afford screens. I'm going to tell you a little story here in just a little bit. But anyway, my window was open in my bedroom one night. This is how I got to come across this sermon, by the way. And I was laying in bed, and something started flying around in my bedroom. Of course, we had the window open. And I'm thinking, man, it woke me up. I get up, and look, here's an owl. An owl had got in my bedroom and finally got the thing out of there. And then after that, we finally kind of convinced Mom, we better buy at least some little screens to put at the bottom of the window. So anyway, you know, and I thought about that as the Lord had impressed upon me this week about, you know what, about an open window and about keeping your windows open. And I'll get to the point here in just a little bit, but if you would, if you're in Daniel chapter 6, I'm going to start with verse 1, and I'm going to read down to about verse 11. If you're able this morning, stand with me in honor of God's word, and let's read it together. If you wouldn't care, please. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error nor fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of God. Then the presidents and the princes assembled together the kings and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever, all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, and it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing in the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and I want you to mark this in your Bibles, windows being opened. In his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I ask you, Father, to open up the word to us this morning. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would open up the hearts and the minds of those gathered here, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would just get me out of the way, Lord. I pray for the anointing one more time, Lord. And Father, we will give you the praise and the glory for it all. And amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I know it's you Sunday, and you probably was expecting maybe a youth pastor up here or something. Isn't it funny how that works? You got me again, so just bear with us this morning. Can I say this morning, I would hope everybody in here that the only fault that someone could find in you is that you're too faithful to God. Would you hope that? You know, they said right here, the only fault that they think that it was going to be because he was serving his God. Also, I believe that today there is no area of a Christian's life that is more tested than our prayer life. Would you agree with that with me? Because I believe it is. I believe our prayer life is tested all the time. There are Christians that are faithful to church that are not faithful to pray. There are Christians that are faithful to go to revivals, but they're not faithful to pray. There are Christians that are faithful to go to Bible study, but they're not faithful to pray. How do I know that? You know how I like to go out and find research on this stuff. Pew said this: among American Christians, only 44% of them pray at least once a day. Of all the people that claim to be Christians, only 44% of them pray once a day. Do you know what the majority of those prayers are? They pray before their food, and they pray as they lay down to go to sleep at night. That's it. And I'll tell you something else there is, too. There are preachers and teachers of the word that are faithful to preach and to teach, but they're not faithful to pray. You say, how do I know that? Because they did a poll on, with them as well. And amongst the preachers and Sunday school teachers, now get this, 80% of them only prayed 7 minutes a day, if that. And the majority of that is they prayed before their meal and they prayed when they went to sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, to get a message and to stand up here and to try to preach to people, me as a preacher, I'm speaking to myself, okay? I'll speak to you. I need to pray more than just 7 minutes a day. I need to pray more than that. Now, the majority, now back to this morning's scripture, it says this, if you want to mark it, and like I said, if you want to mark in your Bibles, mark that his open window. And this morning I would like to preach on the subject of keep your windows open. Keep them open. And now every now and then, like I said, me and Tink will open our windows and let us air out the house with fresh air and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, that's not what I want to talk about this morning. Daniel wasn't opening his windows to get to get fresh air into his house. He was opening his windows because it's a symbolization of how we get in contact with God. It's our prayer life. The open window has always been a symbol of a communication with the God that we serve. The Bible tells us if you obey God and do what God wants you to do, he said that God is able to open the windows of heaven. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but he says he's able to pour out a blessing upon you that you'll not be able to contain. Where's that at? It's over in Malachi. It says this. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat in mine house. And prove me thou herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the what? The windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. Man, that's pretty strong. That's pretty awesome, is it not? That's his word. How many of you would like that? Now, how many, you can raise your hand. How many of you would like to have a blessing from God? I'm not talking just about physical things, but how many of you in here would love to have a blessing from God that it wouldn't be hardly for you to retain it? I think there's not a one of us in here that wouldn't want that. Now, Daniel wasn't opening his windows to be pious or to say, look at me. He wasn't doing that, even to say, look at me, King Darius. I'll show you. I'm not going to mess with your degree, your decree. No, he was doing what God had commanded his people to do. He was doing just exactly what God had commanded his people to do. How was that? Well, if you look at it, if you're able, you know, he said, go over, I'm going to read this to you too. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6. You can turn there if you want to. Because I'm going to read this to you. I want to show you why he was doing this. No doubt Daniel's parents taught him this scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I'm going to begin with verse 36. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, for there is no man, for thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land far off or near. And if they bethink themselves in that land, whether they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of captivity, saying, we have sinned. You see there's repentance there, right? You notice that? Saying, we have sinned, and we have done amiss and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in that land of captivity, doesn't say they were brought back to it, whether they have carried them captive, and pray towards their land. And thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen. What is the city? It is Jerusalem. And toward the house which I have built for thy name. That's their temple. Then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer, their supplication, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Daniel was about 18 years old when he was carried captive. His mom and dad raised him right. This wasn't Daniel trying to stick his nose up at Darius. No, this is what Daniel did all the time. He got on his knees and he prayed towards Jerusalem and he prayed towards the temple because that's what they told him to do. That's what he was taught to do. That's what God wanted him to do. And if they obeyed this scripture, it says, no matter the distance, no matter the circumstances, that God who established him, there he would be with them right then. Now it comes into our prayers. God is not bound by geography with us. We don't have to get on our knees and pray towards Jerusalem. We don't have to get on our knees and pray towards the Holy Spirit. But the Bible tells us we are to get on our knees and pray to a God that hears us. Where is he? Where is he now? He is in heaven. That's where we pray. The only thing that hinders our prayers, I want you to get this, if you don't get anything else, is unbelief. That is the only thing that hinders our prayers. God will give you an answer. It may be yes, and it may be no. But the only thing that hinders our prayers is unbelief. But if you begin to pray in faith with your heart and mind towards God, that's when things can happen in our lives. That's when it can happen. Look, Daniel wasn't looking towards the nation of Judah for help. He was praying to the God of Judah. But they had taught him to pray that way to open up the lines of communication. You don't think Daniel hadn't heard this before? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. That's where it comes from. You know what? Today, there's a lot of Eastern traditions. There's a lot of churches. Do you know that they put their altars facing east? Did you know that? Why do they do that? Number one, the sun comes up in the east. And number two, where does it say Jesus is coming back from one of these days? That's why they do that. A lot of tradition. Some even today. Listen, I know people that they're buried in graveyards. They say that their tombstones are facing east. Because when Jesus comes back, he's coming from the east. But if you get a map out and look at Daniel, whenever he was praying, you look at that. Daniel was where he was praying from. He was facing west. So Daniel wasn't following tradition. Daniel was saying, listen, I know who my God is, and I'm going to pray to him, but I'm going to pray to the way that they told me to pray. Listen, so what he was doing, he was obeying God. He was taking God at his word. Shouldn't we all do that this morning? Shouldn't we all be taking God at his word? He was praying to the place of promise. That's where he was doing. And believing that the covenant God would make and uphold what he had promised that he would make, but he would uphold. Listen, in Psalms 5 and 138, the psalmist expresses their intent to worship and pray towards the temple. That's what it says. If you look it up over there, it was the Israelites' way of focusing on God. Now, I'm going to tell you something here this morning. It's our way as well when we go to prayer. Listen, we need to keep the windows of communication open to the God that we serve. We need to do that. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet, well, listen, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, what did he say? Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look toward thy holy temple. That's what he said. God will keep his word. He will keep it. The opening of the windows is more than just symbolism, folks. There is a spiritual principle that you and I have to grasp a hold of. You will find that in times When it comes to times of great distress, in times of need, in times when we turn and look for God, God's already there looking back at us. He's already there looking back to us. He's already there. You will find that whenever you look to the God that loves us and we pray with our windows open looking towards Him. When Daniel opened the window to pray to God, God had already had His hand on the situation. And I can tell you this morning, there have been times in my life where when I started to pray, He already knew what I was praying. God knows what we're wanting, what the need is in our life. Jesus tells us about prayer. He tells us this about prayer. He said, listen, He said, when you pray, He said, you go into your closet, and what's He tell you to do? Shut the door. Did you get that? When you go into your prayer room or into your prayer closet, and can I tell you, and I want to be nice with you today. You need to have a prayer closet. Everybody in here needs a prayer closet. Everybody in here, when I'm talking about closet, it says a room, wherever it may be, you need a prayer closet. Daniel went first into his house. We see that there. Is your house a house of prayer? Can I ask you that here today? Dads, I want to talk to you a minute. Listen, when you pray, do your kids hear you praying for them? Have they ever heard you pray for them? Moms, I'm going to ask you something. Has your husband ever heard you pray for him? Have you ever got down on your knees and prayed for your husband to where he could hear that you're praying for him? You know, I remember this. Missy Birch tells Tim's wife always tells this story. Anybody in here know who Bobby Webb is? I think some of you might here know. Bobby was on television for a number of years, and I've had him come here and preach at church like once or twice, I believe. But Missy would tell this story that whenever she was out and she wasn't right with the Lord, and she would go out on a date and come back, there would be Bobby up in his bedroom on his knees praying for her, praying for Missy to get saved, praying for her to make the right decisions in life. Belinda, Missy got mad at her parents. She went to them, she said, you quit praying for me. You quit it. You know why? Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit had become upon her. And you know what happened though? Missy got saved. That's what happened. That's what praying for somebody does. But Belinda told me the story one time, I'm going to use her, about going over to Enoch Persley's house one time to take something over there. What was he doing, Belinda? She said she could hear him through the door. Praying for the church. Praying for whatever. I want to tell you something. Have you ever been on your knees in prayer? And somewhere in your prayer closet, wherever it may be, that the Lord is impressing upon you to pray, and you block the world out, you don't care. You don't care. Listen to me. Someone once wisely said, every place that has that man dwells should have an altar in it. Amen. Every place that a man dwells should have an altar in it. You may think that this is the only place that you need to come and pray. Can I tell you, you need a prayer closet at your house. And can I also tell you that the windows need to be open? I'm not talking physically, but the windows need to be open for a communication with God. Every one of us need that. The second thing you notice in this verse is, he went into his chamber, which is that prayer closet. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his window being open, his chamber towards God. Notice the word chamber. Daniel, what that means is, that means a prayer room. He made his house a house of prayer. How did he do that? He went into his house and had a specific place where he prayed. I believe Jesus had a prayer closet. Do you? I believe he did. How do I know that? I believe it was the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what I believe it was. How do I know that? Because where did Judas know to go find him at? Can I ask you something? Be honest with yourself this morning. If something's going on in your life, does your family know where to find you? Huh? I'm not talking about your cell phone. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. What I'm talking about is, can they find you on your knees in your prayer closet praying for the situation? That's what he wants. It may be in your house. It may be on a hill. It may be in a barn. Just someplace where you steal away to touch, get in touch with God with the windows wide open. Jamie said his grandpa used to go up on the hill. What was it, an old rake up there or something? He went up there and got beside him and he prayed. Could you imagine the prayers that have come off that hillside? You must privately keep coming to God's presence. You. Listen to me. She can't go for you. You can't go for him. You've got to go for one another. And you've got to be on your knees and pray. The personal thing. Notice that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, you go into your room, but if thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou art there, shut the door. You know what that is? That's essentially you shutting out the world. That's what that means. That means you just having an open window to God. Jesus is asking you to turn off the TV then, turn off the radio, turn off the computer, and put the cell phone down someplace else if you have to turn it off, and you get in your prayer closet and you get with him. You get in contact with him. That's what he's wanting you to do. And talk to God Almighty alone. Do you understand he wants to hear from you? He wants to hear from you. I'll pray for you. If you call and ask me to put a prayer out on the prayer line, there's a bunch of people that will pray for you. But can I tell you something? You need to get in your prayer closet and you need to talk to God yourself as well. That's what you need to do. Set aside everything that distracts you and give God your undivided attention. That's it. That's what he wants. That's what shutting the door. Jesus said that's what shutting the door means. What a blessing. When you shut the door and that window is open and the Spirit of God, have you been there? You don't have to raise your hands. But whenever you get in that prayer and that Spirit of God overtakes you and you know, Olita, you're at the throne of God. You think, what are you talking? You can get there. You can get there. And the Spirit of God is all, have you been there? Have you done that? I encourage you to try that. Daniel came privately into God's presence. Now let me ask you, how long has it been since you've had a private meeting with God? We talk to a lot of different people each day, right? We do. I've had private meetings with people. But can I tell you something? There's nothing like getting in a private meeting with the God that we serve. Nothing. Folks, you want to know why we're not seeing spiritual awakening in the churches in America nowadays? It's because we don't have revivals. We have revivals. There are revival meetings going on almost every week. It's not because we don't have Bibles. Do you realize on the average there's 4 Bibles in every American home? On the average. It's not because we don't listen or watch to Christian programming. 60% of they listen to a lot, over 60% of them listen to that stuff. We have more going on than any previous generation before us, but with less scriptural awakening than ever before. And you ask yourself why? I feel, this is it. With each other, we're meeting with each other, but we're not meeting with God. Amen? We got revival coming up. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to beg you and plead with you, get on your knees in your prayer closet and beg the God in heaven to send revival to me and to you and to whoever else is in this community. Ask him to do that. And that don't start at the church house. That starts at your house. That starts at your house. It don't start here. Praise His name this evening. And prayer is not just simply saying words. Can I say that again? Prayer is believing that in God is going to answer those prayers. In James, it says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And for let not that man thinketh that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I have been ashamed in myself when I have preached something and God answered. And I've been surprised that He answered. I'm telling you, have you ever been there? I've been there. I prayed for something. And the God answered me. And brother, I said, man, wow, He did do that, didn't He? Man, do we not serve a bigger God than that? I ask in faith, believing, nothing wavering. Get the windows open. Get the windows of communication open to that God. In verse 10, another thing I want to show you in verse 10 is humbleness. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows open, windows being open in his chamber, in his prayer room, toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees. Now, can I tell you something? He just didn't go down like this. He went prostrate on the ground. And that's how he prayed 3 times a day. That's how he prayed. When we pray, we're saying, God's got this. When we're praying, God's got this. When we don't pray, we're saying we got this. When we don't pray, we're saying I can. And when we pray, we're saying who can? God can. Absolutely. You're there are times God is a way of showing us who's in control. Amen? Folks, many times I've been driven to my knees. I've been driven to my knees a lot of times. I have been driven there. During the height of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln said this. I've been driven to my knees a number of times because I've had nowhere else to go. And there have been times in my life, Tony, I went to the very end of what I had, and I had no place else to go. None. It's to be on my knees and pray to a God that I know can hear my prayers. I know a God that can know that He can answer my prayers. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall do what? He shall lift you up. Humbleness is in short supply, might I add. Might I add that humbleness is in short supply sometimes. And sometimes in the church. Because we think we're bigger than anything. Because Daniel had a major position in Babylon. You did know that. I read that to you, didn't I? He was governor over the entire province of Babylon. And he was the chief administrator of all the wise men of Babylon. And advisor of the king of Nebuchadnezzar. He spoke to people. And people listened, and people did what he told them to do. He was just right there almost underneath of Darius. That's where he was at. But you know what he did? He got on his knees, and he knelt prostrate on the ground. Because you know what? He knew that there was one that he served that was bigger than it all. It's amazing, but remember this. The lower you go, the higher God will lift you. You see, maybe the churches in America problem isn't that we've gotten too big. Maybe it isn't because we've gotten too big, but maybe it's because we think we're too big for God. Also, and maybe our problem isn't that we aren't high enough. But brother, maybe our problem is we're not low enough. Maybe we need to humble ourselves before God. Maybe that's what we need to do. Scripture tells us, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That's what it tells us. Folks, if we need to humble ourselves and get on our knees and pray, it's good practice. You know what I'm saying? It's good practice, if nothing else. I say that because Scripture tells us in Romans, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, You can raise your hand and you can say it with me. Every knee shall bow with me, to me, and every tongue shall confess. One day, everybody in this building, I don't care how what you think of yourself or what we do, you will bow to God. All of us are going to bow. Isn't that humbling? So it's good practice. And I understand some people can't get to their knees now. I understand it's health and physical reasons. I'm not talking about a physical kneeling anyway. I'm talking about a humble kneeling of the heart. That's what I'm talking about. Folks, I've read the story of Stephen being stoned again. God took me to that again. And I'm going to read this to you in Acts, and I never noticed this before, Acts 7:60. It says this, and he kneeled down. He was being stoned. He didn't fall down. He kneeled himself down. He's being stoned to death. He was looking beyond. He was looking beyond this world and the problems of this world. It said he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Brothers and sisters, he did all the stoning that they couldn't do to him never drove him to his knees. But seeing a God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, that took him to his knees. Listen, he kneeled down. He was looking past it. Looking towards an almighty God. That's what humility is. And cried with a loud voice, lay this not to their charge. Lay it not to their charge. Folks, I say it. I say it. I need it. You need it. The church needs it. We all need humility. We need humbleness in our life. We need that humbleness in our life. The church today has folks that go to church and they sing songs, carry a Bible, preach sermons, say amen, and even say God bless you once in a while, but doesn't have the right spirit of humility in their lives. That's a lot of church today. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye are outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisies and iniquities. I'll tell you what, that fits a lot of churches today. That fits a lot of preachers. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I'm pointing my finger at anybody else, because you know what? I need to listen to the sermons that I preach sometimes. Amen? Our prayers keep us humble enough so God can work through us. That's what our prayers do. Look at verse 11. One more time here. I'm about done. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication. I want you to underline the word supplication and mark it. You know what that means? It's the most earnest, intense prayer that you and I can pray. It's the most earnest and intense prayer in you and I. Daniel wasn't just saying prayers. He wasn't just throwing words up to the sky. Brothers, he was getting a hold of God. He had reached the throne of heaven. Supplication is intense prayer. That's what it is. How many times when you are praying that you have been in such intense prayer that you've lost contact with the world around you? That's intense. That's supplication. That's intense prayer. Daniel wasn't just saying his prayers. This is a man who had his windows open. He had them open, and he was getting a hold of God. Supplication, listen, I've heard preachers say this one time. I heard him say this about his church. Folks, you announce a preaching meeting, and people will come. You announce a singing meeting, and a lot more people will come. You announce an eating meeting, and everybody will come. You announce a prayer meeting, and you may get 5 people. Brothers and sisters, prayer is important to the church. It's important to you. It's important to your family. It is important. Keep your windows open. Keep them open. Daniel was constant and he was intense in his prayers. Listen, those windows were open, but it says he did it three times a day as he had done it before. He had never changed anything. He got in a habit of getting on his knees. He didn't change anything for them. He didn't care if they heard before. You know, Daniel prayed before the lion's den, and Daniel was praying after the lion's den. He's brought us through a lot, has he not? Every one of us, we've prayed, we've been through a lot of different things in our life. Amen? Have we not been? God's brought us through a lot. He was on the other side of the fire, and he'll be on this side of the fire. Because we serve that kind of a God. But keep your windows open. Keep them open. Get on your knees and say, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you. Prayer is coming to the throne room of God in heaven. And God made a way that we can get there. Did he not? How are we supposed to pray in the name of Jesus? Amen? We're supposed to finish it up in the name of Jesus. God, we pray to you. We pray to you. We say it every morning, every Sunday morning we say here. We say the Lord's Prayer. But it's in Jesus' name. God made a way. Right there, he made a way for that cross till we could get to the throne room of God. Thank him this morning. You cannot truly get to know someone. And I'll blend it if you guys want to come and get a song or whoever, I don't care. You cannot truly get to know someone and have a meaning relationship with someone without getting to know them. Oh, you can talk to them a little bit. You can do that. But if you really want to get to know somebody, I know my wife because we talk, and she knows me because we know one another. I mean, you're not going to get to know God unless you get on your knees and talk to him, unless you read his word. That's when you get to know him. And the more that you get to know him, Alita, you know this to be the truth, the better he is. The better he is. Amen? All right. Prayer is communicating with God and listening for God's response. If you have a need here this morning, this altar is open. Come and talk to him this morning. Come and talk to him.